Afternoon, good afternoon. Oh, I should say good evening. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned into Very, Very Late Paradigm Shifters. Now, our paradigm shifter today is not answering her phone, so I'm not sure what it is, but I know that she works with so many animals, and I'm wondering if there's been a crisis of some sort. My paradigm shifter today, and who are paradigm shifters? Paradigm shifters are people that change our thinking and feeling and knowing so that we can shift the paradigm, the style of thought that we've been contained by, if you will, or limited by on the planet. And so each week we try and talk to somebody who's really kicking some waves into the old paradigm collective and making things different. And this woman is wonderful, a wonderful paradigm shifter. Her book that I'm holding here is called One with the Herd, and it's a spiritual journey. Her name is Liz Mitten Ryan, and you can check her website, onewiththeherd.com. I'm so disappointed. I wanted to talk to her in person. I spoke to her briefly sometime a few weeks back, and she's just a vibrant, lively woman. And what she did, she had a kind of a normal childhood, a lot of outdoor time, and was very, very attracted to horses. She always played horses. And then she kind of moved on to college and all these nice growing experiences and raised six children and didn't have that much to do with horses, although she really yearned for them, and didn't raise her children on horses much for a number of reasons. Was very occupied as a writer and an artist and a mother and having a little bit of horse time. But after her children were leaving home, she kept being charged up inside by this urge, this desire to be with the animals, to be with horses, and to be able to be in communication with them, to understanding what really makes them tick. And she and her husband, Kevin, both have very reclusive natures and are absolutely passionate about nature, about wilderness. So they finally moved to a place in eastern British Columbia, and they began to bring their horses to this huge 300 and some odd acre spread. The pictures in the book are absolutely gorgeous. And then all the way through this book, which is not as wordy in words as it is in pictures, and that's appropriate because animals communicate through sending each other pictures. If you want to talk with your horses, send them pictures of what it is you're trying to engage their concentration in. And so she has this beautiful transformation that she makes and her husband makes. They build new buildings and so on. But the other interesting thing is she works with her horses to let them be free, to be roaming a lot of the time, and she's in with them and in cahoots with them. She even talks in certain parts of the book about how they like to come into the house, they want to sleep with them, and all that kind of stuff. So that's a bit extreme. I guess her husband thinks it's a bit extreme, too. So she's a very, very vital and lively woman. And in this book, there are all these spiritual epiphanies that keep waking up in her, where she's looking, like the rest of us, she's looking for love, and she begins to find it as a young person amongst nature. About my last show today was about compassion. And so much of this book is about having that kind of, that respect and that ability to be patient and interact with, bushes and leaves and bugs and so on in such a way that you can be still and follow the vibrational pushes and pulls that are going on through the attractions of what they want. And so she found herself being able to be more in a state of love and in a state of union with all kinds of animals. It's a really, really striking and beautiful book. Now, because I can't get Liz today, I'm going to let you call in, if you'd like to call in, with any kind of comments you have or questions that you have about working with animals. I have a couple of friends who are listening who are also extremely involved in animal therapy. I'm thinking of you, Jan, if you're out there, or Lisa Renee and so on. If any of you would like to call in and talk about your experiences as you are beginning to learn more and more about working with animals in order to increase people's healing. You know, horses, and a lot of us are reading more and more about it or experiencing more and more about it. Horses are truly amazing. If you go to a horse and you're really out of integrity, meaning you're saying, hi, here I am, and I'm really friendly, and inside you're all gnarly and you've got all kinds of other things going on, they won't respond very well to you. If you go to them and you're really in a state of sadness or something, and I think of you, Stephanie, who called into the last show, and you're really honest with them and you express that, they work with you. Their radiance and their vibrations actually help to shift your energy fields and to really help you heal. So there's so much about becoming fairly symbiotic with horses that is healing an awful lot of beings on our planet this time. People like the two women that whose names I just called out, or the people that run EPONA, which is a equine facilitated learning center. There are a number of organizations growing rapidly all over this world where people are learning to, are investigating, in fact, their ability to work with horses for the sake of healing. So there are people working with horses and ADD, hyperactive brain thing that's been going on our planet, and a lot of youth at risk people. I've heard of veterans with PTSD or big trauma from the war, even the older veterans, getting healing and changing their relationship to who they are because of horses. So if you have, I'll just give you the phone number. But I have to find out where they are. Here they are, right here. If you have anything that you'd like to say about animals and healing or anything else, call in. Remember, this is kind of an interesting open line because I was all prepared for talking to somebody. Oh, goody, we have a caller. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello, Veronica, it's Jan.
Hi, Jan, welcome. I called you. Did you hear me?
I did hear you. I certainly did.
Well, you have lots to teach us.
I tuned in for the very first time to listen to your interview with Liz Minton Ryan, but I heard your distress call, and I'm delighted to be talking with you.
Well, I want to say a little bit about Jan. Jan did a lot of training of Jan loves horses, has been raised on horses, and you've been doing training about equine-facilitated learning in many, many formats, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And also Jan is a writer and an English teacher, so why don't you talk a little bit about what your organization's doing and what kind of classes you've been learning about.
Okay. Well, we call our organization J-Bar Ranch Center for Experiential Learning. And we really have a twin focus, I guess, twin foci. One is to work with young people and to help them learn with the assistance of horses. We want to work on literacy issues.
And why literacy? How could you work with horses and literacy? Do the horses read?
How can a horse help a kid read?
Yeah.
Well, the horse provides the motivation for the child to read, and the child gets to read to the horse. The horses are very good listeners. And the kids who love horses and who enjoy interacting with horses like to read about horses. So there's an opportunity there to encourage a child to follow his or her interest and learn about horses. And we just sneak, it's like a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Kind of like that. If we can get the child to interact with the horses, the horses are very affirming, and that gives us an opportunity then to teach them comprehension enhancement strategies and get the kids to read. I mean, that's half the battle right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is simply
But Jen, isn't there something that you were also doing with ADD and children, or that you were telling me about a woman who was doing some amazing classes with that?
Yes. There are a number of people now who are doing therapeutic work with children with autism syndrome or ADD, and the horses help those children learn to focus, because if you're going to interact with a horse, you have to attend to the horse's body language and to really pay attention in as the horse does. And the horse is, because it's a prey animal, is constantly attending to its surroundings, including the real emotions of the people who enter its space.
Well, now there's something that I'm just thinking while you're saying that, that there was quite a bit about autistic children and dolphins, remember?
Yes.
Is it the same thing? Is it also, it's vibrational, isn't it? That they,
it is,
there's
and,
a compatible.
And it is a very similar kind of thing, because the dolphins are also prey animals, and they're highly intuitive, as horses are. There's been quite a lot of research done, and anyone who's interested could go to the Delta Society website, and they have a good database of research that has been done now on animal-assisted therapy. But there's been a lot of work done with dolphins.
And also, weren't there some dog rescuing situations as well?
Yes. And in fact, I'm blanking on the name, one of the California communities has had a program they call Paws to Read, P-A-W-S, to Read, where children come and read to dogs, and there isn't any instruction. This happens at a library, and the people bring their dogs, and the children come and read for 30 minutes. The dogs are very non-critical listeners, and that's important, just as the horses are. But you know, the other work that we do is personal growth work. Equine facilitated learning for adults who are in transition, who really work with the horses to learn about their own emotions, because the horses act like biofeedback machines in many ways to reflect the emotions of the people who are near them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just sort of watching that and going, okay, so for example, who would show up? Who would be the kind of person that would come? Is it post-trauma stress sufferers or depressed people, or?
It could be any. It could be any of those.
Or people wanting an adventure?
At the first workshop I attended of this sort, there were 10 midlife women who sat in a barn and visited with the facilitator. And in that case, our facilitator was Lee Shambo, who is a therapist in Chehalis, Washington, who founded an organization called HEAL, Human Equine Alliances for Learning. And she has a website, so anyone who's interested could look her up. She trained at Epona. You were talking about Epona.
Mm-hmm.
And in that circle of 10 women, there was one woman whose story, by the way, she gave me permission to tell. I've written about her. And she told us on that night that she had never had any horse experience, had not loved horses as a child or ridden stick horses like the rest of us and dreamed of owning a horse. Instead, she had read Linda Kohanov's books, and Linda Kohanov is the founder of Epona, or co-founded it really with Kathleen Barry Ingram, who's been on your show recently.
Mm-hmm. And the book was The Tao of Equus, right?
Her first book was called The Tao of Equus, and her second book which I really recommend to people to read first, is called Riding Between the Worlds. And the reason I think it's the best first read is that it's very concrete. It has lots of concrete examples of how this works. But that night, this woman told us that she had read Linda's books, and she had suffered from chronic fatigue syndrome for 17 years.
Oh my.
And now she knew that her marriage was ending, and she was fearful about the future, about whether she would have adequate energy to move forward in her life on her own. So she had come to this workshop called the Horse-Human Connection to explore that question. And she had an answer by the end of the workshop.
Wow.
And she got that answer by really learning to read emotion in her body and to connect with the horse through an exercise that another of our mentors in this work, Barbara Rector, calls mutual choosing. We stood in front of the pens of the horses without touching them and noticed which horse we were drawn to for whatever reason. And she was drawn that evening to a Mustang mare named Cotati. I love that name.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, after we learned to do the body scan for emotion in our bodies, then we each had a reflective round pen session with the horse that we had been drawn to.
When you say reflective, it's like biofeedback. It's like
it is
matching and meeting them emotionally.
Yeah, and in her case, the mare could tell that she had this question, and the mare came right to her, touched her heart with her muzzle, and stood still while this woman petted her all over and really connected with her, really bonded with her. So that was empowering. And then on the last day of the workshop, she did a kind of dance with the horse. We were asked to select music and to do a more active round pen session where we asked the horse to move, but in a collaborative way, not in a more traditional pick up a dressage whip and, you know, create a lot of energy that would be more predatory, really, from the horse's point of view. So it was like a ballet to watch the two of them.
It was beautiful?
It was very beautiful. I wish I had a video of it. I do have it in my head. And she told us as she debriefed, because the rest of us were witnesses, and she came over and the mayor came with her. That was an interesting thing. The mayor came to the fence with her. And as she debriefed that experience, she said, if I can do this, then I know that I have what it takes to move into this next phase of my life. And she has. I hope she's listening. I hope she's out there listening.
I hope she is.
Because it really empowered her. And she took a lot of other equine-facilitated learning classes after that.
Well, my understanding also is that the horses don't like it if we're out of integrity or if
right.
we're really suppressed. And chronic fatigue is very often a major suppression issue, isn't it?
Yes.
So it seems like I would jump to the conclusion that energetically she unsuppressed herself in rapport with this horse energetically.
Well, it's in Linda Kohana's book, she calls this the tornado head, this inauthentic self that stands back, sort of the critic or the editor of everything that we're doing, this voice in our head that says, you know, what are you thinking about? Why do you think you can do this? You know, surely you're crazy. And she says that, and I believe this to be true because now I've had many, many of these experiences myself and have observed others, that you must be authentic because the horse can read your authentic emotions. Human beings can't always do that. We can paste a smile on our faces and pretend to the world, if we're pretty good actresses, that everything's okay today when maybe it isn't, and inside we're feeling a lot of turmoil. But you can't fake out the horse. The horse knows.
Wow. So what about, I love that story, and if you have more stories, that'd be great. But
okay.
I'd like to talk a little bit about what you're doing. I mean, you came in from, you've just started doing this this school or this learning ranch?
Yes.
Recently?
We did. Mm-hmm. And last weekend, we taught a course here, or the weekend before last, that we call Horse and Rider. And it's a workshop that we call it an equine facilitated riding workshop. And I had someone call me and say, now what can a horse teach me about riding? And it's just like your question about reading. Really, the answer is the horse can help you learn about yourself. And that knowledge fuels your riding.
Could it be also that you have to become more authentic to associate with the horse, and that can really release the riding?
That's exactly right. Hmm. That's exactly what happens. And people have these epiphanies when they're doing this reflective work with horses. Barbara Rector, who founded an organization called Adventures in Awareness, calls it the round-ring gestalt. You just all of a sudden, you know something. It's a flash of intuition that perhaps you've been struggling with. Maybe you've even been in therapy, and talk therapy just hasn't done the trick. But this interaction with the horse does it. And I know other people. For example, there is a wonderful man named David Harris who has an organization called Acorns to Oaks in the United Kingdom. And he teaches corporate groups leadership with the help of horses.
Hmm.
You have to be a leader to, you know, you can't force a 1,000-pound animal to do what you want. I mean, if the horse is saying no, then it's definitely stronger than you are.
Hmm.
So you have to collaborate with the horse in order to be a leader.
And you collaborate energetically? And
that's right.
Hmm.
Yeah. And that's the energy work with horses is really fascinating, by the way.
Hmm.
We did an exercise last at our horse and rider workshop that I experienced first in a Barbara Rector workshop, that where you first become aware of the energy field of the horse, and then as you ask permission and enter that field, you can pet the horse without touching it.
Hmm.
And it's obvious that the horse feels that touch and will stretch its neck, and you know, how an animal acts when you're doing a massage. Well, you get that reaction from the horse without ever touching it, because what you're doing is touching the energy field.
How wonderful!
It is. It really is. And I
think I remember you telling me too about some kids, young people who would get on horses who were maybe with a lot of ADD, I think it was you, with a lot of ADD, that their symptoms disappeared as soon as they got on the horses?
What happens is they have to focus, and they make this connection. The horse and the child become like one animal. And in fact, there's been research now that's been done with portable EEG machines on both the horse and the human being that shows that in certain exercises, it doesn't have to be riding. It could be grooming, for example, or it could be the person just sitting in a pen with the horse, but the heartbeats of the person and the horse actually become one.
Hmm.
They beat with the same rhythm exactly. It's just amazing.
Hmm. And that's preferable, so that's going to calm somebody down who might be... So the horse is actually setting a tone, would you say?
That's right.
Yeah.
They really do. And there is a measurable drop in the blood pressure of both the horse and the human during something like a reflective grooming exercise, where the person has to slow down and do brushing or petting of the horse in a calm manner. And it requires focus. It really does require focus, which is very helpful for kids with ADD.
Hmm. And what about veterans? Do you know anything about those?
I do. I know that we don't have a program here yet, to my knowledge. I live in the central San Joaquin Valley of California. But in a number of other locations now, there is a real outreach to veterans of the recent wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, many of whom have suffered various, you know, traumatic stress or physical injury to the brain, plus other kinds of physical injuries, of course. There is an outreach for them to become part of a therapeutic riding and work with horses program. In fact, an organization called EGALA, E-A-G-A-L-A, which is Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, has instituted a program that they call Horses for Heroes. And what they're doing is inviting the people who are veterans of the recent conflicts to participate in those programs. And there was I think it was Equus magazine. It was one of the horse magazines. Within the last year, on the back page, there was an essay written by a man who was a veteran of the Iraq War, and he talked about how therapeutic it had been for him just to interact with his own horse. So therapeutic, in fact, that he got a second horse, and he felt that he had really recovered to great degree from the post-traumatic stress disorder that he had been left with after the conflict, just from his interaction with those horses.
Isn't that amazing? Now, Jan, how many horses do you have?
Now, Veronica, you're really putting me on the spot.
I want to. You're a wonderfully courageous and interesting woman.
We have about 25 horses.
Hmm.
They aren't all here at our ranch. I think we have 22 horses here right now. And not all of them are ours. We actually own 25 horses, but we do have a couple of horses here that are experiencing a second career. They started out as show horses, or one is an endurance competitor, an Arabian gelding who competed in endurance. But he had developed some arthritis issues that made that difficult, and he's so intuitive and so good with people that his owner contacted me actually to ask if she could kind of sponsor him, to be here for him to work with us, with people, in a different way.
Now, can you communicate with your animals?
Yeah, I think I do communicate with them. I'm not to the degree that I would call myself a professional animal communicator, but I definitely can communicate with them, and I developed a very close relationship with one mare who was really a difficult personality when she arrived here. During her pregnancy, she and I established a routine where I would go out and massage her every night. And without a halter or anything, she would present one side of her body. Mm. And when I finished with that one, she would turn around and give me the other side. And we still are very close. That's Angel. You have talked with Angel, I think, in the past.
Yes, I have.
But she has become Angelic, and her previous name was Opal, which I thought just didn't suit her at all. Sounded like a little old lady in a rocking chair.
Oh. You don't have any rocking chairs for your horses, huh?
not for Angel, anyway.
I've known Jan for a while, but when I was reading Liz's book, she was talking about sleeping with the horses when they were going to foal.
Yes.
And I remember talking to you when you were sleeping in your barn quite a bit at that point.
Actually, I even slept outside before we had our barn.
Oh.
Yes, in fact, my husband made what he referred to as our RV. What that was our manure trailer, which we cleaned out, and I put an air mattress in it, and we draped a tarp over the top. He propped it, made the little kind of an A-frame thing. And I would sleep out there with a flashlight and listen. Well, sleep would be kind of a euphemism. I stayed out there at night with the flashlight and listened for the mares. And I've been present at almost all the births of our foals. We've had 9 foals here. And I think I've only missed 1 or 2.
Hmm.
And then I was there seconds afterwards.
Wow.
One time I just came in to get a shower, and that was when the mare, she'd probably been waiting for that moment to deliver. So the baby was on the ground when I came back out.
But it's so interesting because they're so intelligent and so, hearing these stories, I feel like they're just like we are, right?
They are.
Isn't that wonderful?
I need to tell you and your listeners that I happened on to a wonderful article just yesterday. It's in the March 2008 National Geographic, and there's a picture of a border collie on the cover. Horses are not specifically mentioned in the article, but it's an article about the intelligence of animals.
Mm.
And there are references to many, many university-level researchers who have studied various species, from crows to even to fish, and animals that we would assume were not intelligent. And, of course, dolphins are discussed at length. As well as the dog on the cover, it's said in the article, has a vocabulary of 380 words and learns 10 new words a day.
Oh, my.
It has a vocabulary as good as any toddler. And they, in this article, the author discusses how these animals are capable of using tools, how they can... they have memory, you know, what cognitive scientists would refer to as episodic memory or memory of themselves doing something in the past. And they're capable of planning for the future. So it is exactly the sort of intelligence that human beings have.
Did you
and
see that
there's
a YouTube presentation about an elephant painting a picture?
I've seen that.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
But it's like what you're saying. It's kind of evidence of a wisdom that we don't expect or a talent, you know?
That's right.
So I also want to go back to you and put you on the spot again. You have workshops coming up. How can people find out what they are? And do you have a place for us to look it up?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have a website. It's www.jbar.com.
That's J-Bar?
J-Bar.com. Mm-hmm. J-Bar, by the way, was my father's brand. And so the two mirrors that we got from him, three mirrors actually, one has passed to her reward, but the two mirrors we still have here have the J with a line under it, which, if you know how to read brands, that's J-Bar. They wear that on their left shoulder, and that's why we named our ranch J-Bar Ranch. But it's jbar.com, and there is a calendar of our upcoming workshops, and one that I'd really like to encourage your listeners to consider is a workshop with a guest facilitator, Marta Williams, who will be here June 7th and 8th. And Marta is a professional animal communicator. She is going to help people learn to communicate better with their animals during that workshop. And she's just written a new book called Ask Your Animal. So that would be one that would be fantastic if your listeners would attend. But there are many others, including one coming up in the kind of early winter. I believe it's I don't have that calendar right in front of me. I think it's February of 2009. Lisa Renee Nelson will teach a workshop here on working with children with autism spectrum, Asperger's syndrome. Mm-hmm. So that would be great if people could attend that or any of the workshops that I teach myself. We have another horse and rider coming up.
I always wanted to come to one of those.
I'd love that.
Yeah. What do you think about when we're getting a little bit old? I'm older than I used to be, Jan.
Yeah, well, so am I.
Oh. But you ride, right? You're not afraid to ride a horse.
I'm not afraid to ride a horse, but I'll tell you that I am a little more careful than I used to be in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I warm up my mouth these days. And I choose the horses that I'm going to ride carefully because I don't want to aggravate my osteoporosis with a fall.
Well, and I was just thinking that, you know, maybe as a group, having older people, the horses would have sort of an empathy with that as well, would they not?
They do.
Because they certainly are protective of little people.
They are so protective, and this last workshop that we just had, our biggest horse, a great big gelding, whose name is Stelp, his barn name is Stelp, like the Stelp Bomber, worked with this tiny woman who really had no horse experience at all, and he was incredible in working with her. In her reflective rounds and exercise, and then later they did a reflective grooming exercise together, and he was so gentle with her because he knew that she was taking a risk in working with him. She was stepping outside of her comfort zone.
But he was sensitive to that.
Very sensitive. And I think that most horses really are able to sense that kind of thing. And if a horse has become a co-facilitator in the kind of work that I'm talking about, then that horse is treated always as a sentient being.
Hmm.
And I believe that horses really respond to that, and they open up, and they know that they are co-facilitating, and whether it's a ride or work on the ground, they're sensitive to the needs of the person who's with them.
Now, and here's another kind of, for me, it's an interesting question, is that horses have been intensely abused and dominated for a long, long time. Is it a rather grand process to, have you experienced trying to bring them out of the abusive mentality or consciousness into their own empowerment?
I think that's exactly what not only the equine facilitated learning and psychotherapy movement is doing, but also the training movement that is afoot now, that is called natural horsemanship by some trainers. There are lots of versions of it, but at the base of all of it is learning to really communicate with the horse and to get rid of that mentality that calls training a horse breaking.
Mm-hmm.
There is no breaking of spirit here.
Mm.
It's really a working with.
But horses are rehabilitatable, I mean recoverable from that horrible paradigm they lived in, huh?
Usually they are. Mm-hmm. Usually they are. I've personally not experienced a horse who couldn't recover if kindly treated and really treated as a sentient being.
Well, they are such majestic beings. People always say the whales hold all the information of human history or history on the planet, and I feel like horses do as well.
I think they do.
Yeah, there's something.
I really think they do. They certainly have been with us. Maybe not quite as long as the dog as a domesticated animal, but it's clear that they choose to be with us.
Well, I've really enjoyed your call, and I want to say again, Jan has all kinds of workshops coming up at www.jbar, right?
That's right.
.com. And you've been just wonderful. You've filled in for Liz, and I can't think of anything more inspiring. So.
Well, thank you, Veronica, and thanks for calling out to me. I was listening. I think I would have heard you even if I hadn't had the radio on.
Oh, wonderful. And I you already mentioned Lisa Renee, but I will also mention that Lisa Renee is doing a workshop on May 14th in somewhere near Palo Alto. I'm not sure where, and so you can always email me or Jan to find out where, but it's May 14th, and it's about Asperger's, and
yeah.
It should be extremely interesting, and we can get you a flyer if you're interested in signing up for that.
Yes, she's a very talented therapist, and she's planning I believe it's a 12-week program.
Oh, that's right. It's not a weekend workshop. It's 12 weeks.
I believe it's 12 weeks.
But it's not live-in.
For children with Asperger's syndrome. And it will, working with the horses, they'll build social-emotional skills for those children.
And I believe she's going to include the parents, too, so the parents
so.
Will know how to unravel some of the mysteries of Asperger's.
Yes.
So, and she's very competent, so you can be in touch with me, Veronica, at veronicaantwistle.com, and I will get you the information, or you can email Jan at jbar.com, and she can get you the information.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Jan, and you've been a wonderful interviewee.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
And, I have one more thing. You had articles written in the Horseman?
Texas, I write frequently for Texas Horse Talk magazine.
Horse Talk?
Texas Horse Talk magazine, and also for an online magazine that your listeners would enjoy called Equa Spirit. It's EQUUS S-P-I-R-I-T.
Excellent. Look it up.
It's an excellent magazine, and it really deals with the whole equine facilitated learning movement.
Wonderful. Oh, I'm glad. I'll look at it myself. I'm very fascinated by all those steps that are being taken this way. So, many blessings, and thank you, Jan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was our surprise paradigm shifter, Jan Lovelace, who's doing so much groundbreaking paradigm shifting work with horses and with the help of her husband, whose name is, I believe, Sid. They're working together and they're developing this ranch and all of these programs and have people coming and going and learning, and it's just really an amazing, fruitful time for people with horses. And I really missed Liz Mitten Ryan, but we were lucky to get Jan, and I hope that we'll talk to Liz soon. I trust that she had some confusion in her ranch, but you can check out her work with onewiththeherd.com. Her approach is a little bit different, but she has some overlap there, too, about what she does to communicate with horses. And next week, we're going to have, as our paradigm shifter, Amrita. Amrita is the woman who created the music that's now beginning our programs, Radiance and Paradigm Shifters, and probably ending it as well. She created that music in response to having breast cancer. And because of the music that she learned and the vibrations she's putting out in the music that she designs, she healed her own breast cancer and is doing an awful lot of work healing other people with it. And again, her name is Amrita, and you can get in touch with her through healingmusic.org. This is Veronica Entwistle. I'm sorry I kept you waiting with Paradigm Shifters. I truly enjoyed Jan's interview, and I hope you did too. Email me. Let me know what it is you'd like to hear about, what we should talk about, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I love getting your feedback. I've had some wonderful feedback from you all about your own questions, what limits you, what expands you, what shifts your paradigm. I'll see you on Thursday night on Jackie's show, and I think we're going to talk more about rage and the release of rage, but maybe not, but I think that's what she's going to talk about this week. Jackie's show tends to be rather inspirational and educational and very much healing, quite intense at times, but I love being there as her sidekick. So tune in at 8 o'clock on wonderful BBS Radio. I'll catch you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. West Coast time, Pacific Daylight time, and we'll talk about, I don't know, we might even talk about grief next week. I don't know what we'll talk about, but it's a call-in show, and we'll sure talk to you. And again, my paradigm shifter next week will be Amrita. This is Veronica Entwistle saying much love to all of you, and again to you, Jan, thank you for your call. Much love, everyone. Go ride a horse. Talk to a horse.